This week we begin Sefer Shmos. And we begin the whole Egyptian experience, beginning with Shibud Mitzrayim, going all the way down to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us a lot of things about the four Malchios, the four different kingdoms that ruled over the Jews, the four Goluyos, the four times we were exiled. And who were they? The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. And they tell us that already in Bereishis, in the first pasuk of Bereishis, when it talks about Tov, Vavol, and Choshech al Pnei Sahom, it is referring to the Arba Malchios. Because built into creation, the fact that the world is finite, that from what was only Hashem, there became something smaller. There is natural chasorin, as they call it. There is natural lack. Sin is inevitable. Problems are inevitable. And the four goluyos, those four kingdoms that exiled the Jews, they too were very much part of what the world was made of. The Maharal writes extensively about this. Egypt is left out of it. Mitzrayim is not part of that family. Mitzrayim is not mentioned among those goluyos. We don't look at Mitzrayim as an exile. Yaakov Avinu came from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Chazal say he could have come in chains, but instead Hashem had him come in royalty. Yet that is not called an exile. There's a very basic difference between Golus Mitzrayim and the other goluyos. Chazal looked to find a reason why we went into Mitzrayim. Yeah, Avraham Avinu said, "Bama eda keiroshena." He asked, "How do I know?" So for that, we got Golus Mitzrayim. In all the other goluyos, we understand that the Jewish nation did not deserve to be here. In the case of the Greeks, the story of Hanukkah, we weren't literally exiled. We lost self-rule at that point and the ability to observe because Hellenism was rampant. The Churban Bayis Rishon, they tell us what Averis they were. The Churban Bayis Sheni, they tell us the Averis. The Persian story, the story of Purim, we understand where the Jews went wrong there. There were major problems. The Jewish nation no longer stood for what it was supposed to stand for. That wasn't the case in Mitzrayim. We don't see Golus Mitzrayim as a reaction to Klal Yisrael losing its values. Golus Mitzrayim is not even something we lament. It's something we celebrate. an essential part of the Pesach Seder is eating the maror. It's part of the celebration. Yeah, we tell of the troubles, and we eat the troubles as part of the celebration of Pesach. We eat matzah, the lechem oni, as part of the celebration. Golus Mitzrayim was not a matter of punishing the Jews for sin. Golus Mitzrayim was the building of the Jewish nation. Golus Mitzrayim was purifying the genes of the Jewish people. It was strengthening them, toughening them. Denying them an essential part of life in this world, denying them freedom, denying them living like human beings, for the sake of sort of taking us out of this world a little bit, placing the Jewish personality in a different sphere, beating Gashmias out of us, turning us into a nation that is Ruchani, a nation that appreciates priorities, a nation that is not lodged into physical need. Mitzrayim is not one of those four kingdoms. Yeah, Paro got punished because he chose to be the one. Paro got punished because he had a good time with it. But the truth is that Mitzrayim was a positive experience. We have a mitzvah. We have a mitzvah. You got to be careful with Egyptians. You got to make sure that you're nice to them. They were our hosts. Gera Yisaba Arza. They were our hosts. What hosts? They didn't put out the red carpet. They moru es chayeim. We appreciate the fact that we were built in Egypt. We were made there. Shivud Mitzrayim, the psukim here that teach us about what the Jews went through, is a description of how we were made. And if we want to understand our essence, we have to learn through it. The parasha begins with the fact that the previous generation died out. There's an understanding that the Ovis were the ones that really set the foundation for Klal Yisrael. The foundation was solid. But when the Ovis weren't there, although we had the foundation, we did not have it ourselves. What had to be done to see to it that it was permanent? The truth is that when Chazal say that Golus Mitzrayim came in answer to Bamoaida Kereshena, this was a good part of Avraham Avinu's kasha of Bamoaida Kereshena. How do I know? For all I know, they won't deserve it. For all I know, future generations of Jews won't see themselves as Jews. The answer was, there's going to be something that is going to drive into the Jewish personality the fact that we're Jewish and what we stand for. In a way that a Jew will always be a Jew. So Avram and his children, they didn't need all this. They were Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They were the Shvatim. Those first generations. They had it. The question was, how do you go and build it into what a Jew is eternally? The answer to that Vayakom Melech Chadash. So the very first thing that happened was his accusation. The first basic principle. The first, the most obvious aspect of the Jew throughout history is the fact that we are hated, that we are accused of being the enemy, that we are accused of ambitions. We want to take over the country, the world. We already did. The first aspect of the eternity of the Jewish people is the fact that the nations of the world discriminate against us. In positive terminology, the nations of the world will not allow us to think that we're like them. They will never accept us as normal members of the family of nations. That's the first step. The next, Vayasinu alav sarei nisim lamana noso besivlosa. The first was discrimination. The first was the fact that we're different. The second, sevel. The fact that life wouldn't be easy. The second element is that to the Jew, Hashem never lets go of him. The Jew is constantly challenged. And once again, our challenges are guaranteed to come from without, at least from without. Not only do the nations of the world discriminate against us and hold us to be different, they also deny us. They deny us the quality of life that they will afford for themselves. Destiny is going to be tough. Anti-Semitism not only barred Jews from becoming normal members of society, but they tortured and they killed and they looted. To this very day, there's anti-Semitism in terms of their regard for us, in terms of the double standard, the hypocrisy. And there's terrorism. They just won't let us live. And then another element. V'chasher ya'anu also, ken yirbe v'chen yifrotz. The fact that the Jews are most successful. We as a nation are most successful when we are in pain. We are most successful when life is difficult. We flourish under pressure. The Jew shines when threatened and challenged. That Jewish personality was built in Egypt. And that is us. That's been the story of the Jewish people. Discrimination and Mesiras Nefesh. The pain that went into every piece of Torah that was written over the generations. We learned Rishonim. Do you know what life was like for them? We're talking about the era of the Crusades. We're talking about massacres. We're talking about imprisonment. Among the greatest of the Rishonim, there were those who wrote in prison. Some in blood. That kind of greatness for Jews, that doesn't thrive when we're comfortable. The history behind classic Achronim over the generations. Who were these people? What was life like? We don't think of them so much as human beings. It's kind of hard to. But they had lives, and what kinds of lives? What did it take just to survive? Discrimination, poverty, disease. This is the building of the Jewish personality. Greatness when the odds are against you. Greatness when there is an insane hatred. When there's a hatred that cannot be explained rationally. Where in most countries of the world, the Jew would wake up in the morning to find out what was the latest decree against us. This is not a gullus here and a gullus there. This is creating the Jew. If the Jew had a need for affluence, if a Jew had a need for gashmius, Jewish history didn't provide him with it. The one thing they couldn't do is take away our values, take away our neshamas, take away our ruchnias, take away our drive for wisdom, for divine wisdom, for depth of understanding, for purifying one's character. Shibud Mitzrayim is the building of the Jew. For those who are embarrassed of the Golus Jew, let them study their history and appreciate that that is our pride. We think of our ancestors often as unsophisticated. Today we're free. The big world is open to us. So why aren't we any better? Any better? Why are we so much less than what they were? Because life's too easy. We were at our best when we were tortured. We're at our best when we recognize that there is nothing in Gashmius worth living for. That's the story of Shibud Mitzrayim. And we celebrate it with the Matzah and Morah. We celebrate it. the weeks that we read of Shibud Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim are supposed to be weeks of Cheshben HaNefesh, weeks when the Jew really gets his priorities straight, where the Jew remembers. The Jew remembers what he lives for and what he doesn't live for. He remembers what's ikar and what's trivial. What is it that we can't live without? What is the Jew naturally addicted to? Greatness, wisdom, a relationship with Hashem and His wisdom. That's what these weeks are for. The avoda of the weeks of Shibud Mitzrayim is appreciating just that. The Midrashim on the torture the Jews endured in Mitzrayim make us realize how we do live in luxury. That's what makes this generation and this time in Jewish history so dangerous. It's a different kind of anti-Semitism. It's a reminder, but we have to go looking for it, because you don't know too much about it unless you follow the news. It's not like you're afraid to walk out in the street. It's not like they're making us wear funny clothes. It's easy to forget. And if it's easy to forget, then we can easily lose focus. So maybe we have to remind ourselves by relearning Shibud Mitzrayim. We are Bnei Olam Haba. We live with a focus on eternity and understand that this world is temporary. We understand that this is a temporary state where we establish whom we are. The greatest challenge is seeing to it that our priority remains the world to come. And we see this world only as a way to get there. But it shouldn't be all that difficult, because that was beaten into us in Shibud Mitzrayim. Beaten into us in a way that it's eternal. You know, we hope and pray that we don't find ourselves back in the dark ages. We hope and pray that the Gula Shlema is going to come before anti-Semitism gets too close to home. We hope and pray that we can remember our values while the going is still relatively good. The avoda is really to make sure we get the message so that we don't need anything more intense. That we can use the difficulties of the past to keep us straight and not ask Hashem for new difficulties, because we're all mixed up.